I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for L'Esperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot on the floor! Oh, Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Carol Dale, the penalty is over. Here's Leibinger. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Thank you very much, and we are ready to go with another hour of talking to Michigan Tech Hockey here on Mix 93 WKMJ on this Monday morning. Huskies coming off a split against Huntsville, and they win it on Friday night, lose it on Saturday night, and now get set for a big weekend down at Minnesota State, a team that is was predicted to win the league in the preseason polls. Good Monday morning to you, Coach. Nice to see you back in the studio.
Great. It's great to be here, Dirk.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the weekend overview, I guess, Coach. A little bit disappointing that we lost for the first time against Huntsville, but I think we learned a lot of about our team, I think, in general, but to me, Huntsville was exactly what I expected. Very, very tough to play against.
Yeah, they were competitive, and they were very similar to Lake Superior. That's going to be a great series when those two teams go at it, and it'll be a high-compete series. I thought they did what they needed to do as far as their special teams. They had the special teams advantage on us, I would say, overall. So, and I think that was the difference, certainly, in Saturday night's game.
Yeah, you look at us with the 8 power plays on Saturday night, and it just, for some reason, even though we had all those power plays, we never felt like we, at least from my vantage point, that we felt comfortable on the power play. Like we were really getting great, great scoring opportunities.
No, that was the special teams portion of the weekend. We did get 3 power play goals on Friday night, and that's been carrying us. Our you know, certain individuals and our power play has been scoring a lot for us, scoring a lot of goals. This may be the first game of the year that we haven't scored a power play goal. But I think what happened in that game, maybe with the pressure of it or whatever on when we were down and things, we really, in my opinion, got individualistic on the power play. And, I think just guys were trying to do too much. I thought we were really perimeter. We were to the outside. Huntsville did a good job of just keeping the middle of the ice in the zone clogged up you know, it looked like we were moving the puck around pretty well, but that's because they were allowing us the outside, and we didn't really try to get the puck into the inside areas that often. A lot of the shots were from bad angles from the outside. Our scoring chances weren't high. I think I had us for 4 scoring chances on the power play, or maybe 5 in 8 power plays, and that's just not the total that we need.
Were the shots a little bit misleading on Saturday night, do you think? Because we often look at it when somebody else shoots us, that, yeah, a lot of them were from the outside. They weren't really scoring opportunities. Did we not really have, I mean, we had 43 shots on goal, but is that misleading?
No.
43-20 as far as
no.
The way we carried the play?
No, we had the chances at 24-9 in our favor. So
okay.
That was indicative to how to the best games that we've played over my time here as far as is you know, that indicator, that analytic, our chances were good. They just weren't on the power play, gotcha. For the most part. And then on the other side of it, you know, to compound it, we gave up a shorthanded goal against, turnover at the blue line, and then, and they scored a power play themselves. So, that was the difference in the hockey game was the special teams, and we'll get back to work on that this week and try to resolve it. But I think a lot of it, again, was guys trying to do a little bit too much, and doing it too individually, you know, not necessarily wanting to be the guy that got it done, but just feeling that, you know, we need to make this happen. And so they were forcing it versus trying to really understand. And that's on us as a staff as well. You know, it's just like the penalty kill's on me. You know, you got to focus on, You know, you got to teach and get guys to understand the different things so that they're not focused on them. They're focused on what, you know, what's available and understanding the, you know, understanding the game, learning to learn the game. And I think that we had good opportunities. I look back at it, watch the video, and we had a lot of opportunities to make a lot of things happen. There were a lot of certainly opportunities there, but we put ourselves in positions that eliminated some of those chances.
What about the penalty kill, Coach? In between games, right before the Saturday night game, you were obviously concerned about giving up the three goals to their power play going into Saturday night. Did we improve at all, or do we improve on the areas that we weren't doing well on Friday night on the penalty kill at all?
Well, I'm not going to even get remotely optimistic with that yet, because where we're at is we've been poor on the penalty kill on Friday nights. Poor. At Lake State, we were not good. At Wisconsin, we gave up some power play goals. Against Union, we weren't good. On Saturday nights against Duluth, we were very good. Mm-hmm. Against Lake State, we were very good killing off. You know, I don't believe we gave up power play goal, killed off a couple of 5-on-3s in the third for extended periods. Now on Saturday, they came out right away and Mike Neville actually did a great job. We were talking, and Mike's a great resource for me because he's been through it with me. He's, you know, he understands everything that I'm thinking, and he's been out there and he's lived it. So he pulled out some great clips. We talked about what we wanted. He pulled out some great clips for teaching, and we showed him, and it helped us. The goals, we gave up 2 shots on goal on 3 power plays. Now, I believe on the first night we gave up something like 10 on 4 power plays. On Saturday night we gave up 2 shots on goal on 3 power plays. So the penalty kill, in essence, did good, including we got a shorthanded opportunity off it. The first, they came out, their first power play and fired a wrister through 2 guys, you know, with no blocking attempt. And then, they came back, the goal was disallowed. They came back right after that and shot it through 3 guys. We had 3 guys lined up when Goslin, you know, took that wrist shot. No one with an intent of blocking the shot. So, and not only that, screening our young goaltender. So, you know, there's a couple sides to it again on what you have to do. Were we better? We were a lot better. And then the last 2 after that, you know, we talked about that after the first period, and then the next 2 penalty kills, we didn't give up anything. We were on top of them. We got our clears. We won our faceoffs. We didn't give up a lot of zone time. We had them forced around. So we did a much better job. Now, what unit's going to show up this Friday? You know, again, I'm not gonna get optimistic. We can't let up on it. I have to do a better job of grinding it in. But again, it comes down to that commitment level. You know, I told the guys on Saturday morning, this is completely on me, that we don't understand how to read in and out of different rotations. That I'll take full responsibility for that. But at some point, the responsibility is going to fall on individuals, and the guys in this room have to be able to get it done. I thought on Saturday night, the goal they got was really a disinterest in getting in front of a puck, and so we cleared that. We got some blocked shots after that. So hopefully we're heading in the right direction.
All right, let's take a look at Friday night's win. The Huskies got on the board early in the game, an early power play. Great start to the game. Good hustle down in the corner. We draw a penalty. Cam Knight goes off for a boarding call at 25 seconds into the game. It didn't take long for Dane Burks to get his second goal of the season to give the Huskies a 1-0 lead. Power play for the Huskies. Settling it down now is Smith up against the wall. Nice job to get it back to Burks. Burks lines it over for Ford. Keegan Ford will spin back to the middle. Right side for Reitmeier. Reitmeier back up top for Ford. Looks to shoot, then holds on. Now Reitmeier with it. Good job by Huntsville right now. Not really getting anything open. Here's a shot. Score! Tipped in front, and Dane Burks is going to get the goal. A power play tally for Michigan Tech early in the game, 1-0.
Yeah, you can hear me say that it looked like Huntsville was doing a good job of just kind of keeping us to the outside, not giving us a shot lane, and then boom, just like that, Dane Burks finds one.
Yeah, it was a good play. It's something that we've been working on. Dane can hit the puck pretty well. So now that was the last one I think he got through on the weekend, but it was the first one and it was a good one.
Yeah, it went off of one of their players. Keegan Ford and Reitmeier get the assist on it. The Chargers, though, come back and tie it up at the 6:45 mark of the period.
And coming back now, the Chargers. Kessner, big Kessner coming down the left wing. Nice pass over shot. Saved by Munson. Rebound goes back to the point. Shot again. Club down by Munson. Luke's puck there, and he's looking for the whistle. It's still no whistle. Munson. The puck is loose. Did they score? Yes. They tied the game up. Munson could not get a whistle, and the whistle never sounded, and Huntsville never gave up. They've tied it up 1-1.
You know, during the play on that one, we could not see the puck. I just figured he must have it somewhere under there, but then watching the replay, it was right there, but nobody seemed to know where it was. Right?
Yeah, and we didn't box out well. We had a lot of guys standing around there, and you know, and not taking the initiative of getting guys away from our goaltender. So, and that happened again later in the period as well, where we stood around our crease watching. So those are the attention to detail, the commitment to the team that you need to have. And that's really the emphasis of what we're focusing on right now is, you know, you do your job. You be the guy that, don't be the guy that lets the group down. You do your job. So that goal right there should have never gone in the net. They shouldn't have got those whacks at it.
Well, Rajic gets his first as a Charger. 6:45 the time of that goal. We're tied 1-1 after one period of play. Shots in the first, 11-9 Michigan Tech. But then two goals by the Huskies to give themselves a two-goal lead.
Almost turned it over cleanly. Brave Bryce with the steal. Bryce coming in now from the side of the net. Almost put it in short side. Went to the short side shoulder. Just missed it. Back up top, Mitch Reinke. Holding. Shot. Score! Mitch Reinke with the goal! What a great play by the Huskies. All started by the hometown kid, Ray Bryce. And the Huskies go up 2-1.
Then Joel Esperance scored.
Esperance back to the point for Ock. Ock quarterbacking back there along with Reinke. Reinke over to the right side for Gould, over for Mark on the weak side. Ock back up top. Reinke will shoot. Tip the front. Rebound. Score! Yes! Lesperance bangs it home. Second power play goal for the Huskies. 3-1.
And going back to that first goal, even strength. A nice play by Ray Bryce to bring that down and finally get it back to the point there and earned a pretty darn good assist on Reinke's goal from the point.
Yeah, that line's been just tremendous for us. Stamen, Ray, and Justin Misiak, they've been textbook. The mistakes that they make, if there are, they're few and far between. They cover for each other. They rotate in and out of their other positions well. They have their systems and their tactics down there. You can't ask for more than they're giving us as far as an example. Most videos that we show, most clips that we show to the guys are that line doing their job, and they're being rewarded for it with opportunities and with ice time.
And how about Stamen? He must have drew three or four penalties this weekend just with hard work down in the corners.
Yeah, that line again has been just absolutely, and they could have drawn another one at the start of the game on Saturday night, the very opening faceoff. We had a faceoff play set up and they actually tripped Misiak on that play. They could have drawn another one right to start the game.
So we're up 3-1 at this point, coach, and it looked pretty good. But then just over 3 minutes later, they start a power play barrage against us where we give up three straight power play goals to the Chargers. I know you just weren't happy with the way we were setting up that penalty kill.
Yeah, well, we weren't recognizing. We're programmed and direct. And the thing about it is, again, I take responsibility for it because the thing about it is that it was veterans, non-veterans, it was everybody not reading what, you know, they're going up. We were going based off of video and some subtle changes and things. First of all, when shots are getting through and you're missing clears, that's one thing. But when you're missing reads on face-offs and things like that, it's another thing. So there was really a lack of attention to detail. The penalty kill thought seemed to, like it was secondary, and I had to put more urgency on that from our end of it and make sure that it's realized. And obviously we didn't even to start the game on Saturday with all the work we did. But I guess the only bad lessons are ones that you don't learn from. You know, hopefully we're learning from these things and getting better. And it's not that there's not pride within the guys. Our commitment just has to get better.
So Brennan Saulnier, Josh Kestner, and Tyler Polson all score for the Chargers. Two of those were in the end of the second period, one early on in the third at the 7:31 mark, I guess. And that's three power play goals in a row for the Chargers. That made it 4-3, Huntsville. And then the Huskies come back. It's Justin Misiak getting a power play goal of his own because I believe Gavin Gould was not available for that power play. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And Justin got himself in a really good position, snuck into an area. Now that's a hockey player thinking it and making a hockey play. And Ock found him in the back door, made a great pass to him, and Justin tucked it in the open net. But again, it was a hockey player. reading a play, understanding it. And again, I can't be that those guys, Stamen, Bryce, Misiak, have just been absolutely incredible with their attention to detail and how they've approached things. They're creative, they're energetic. And this was a good goal by a good hockey player.
Soft server for Auk again. Sent in front for Lesperon. Didn't get a good shot on. Good defensive play there made by Dotson, I think it was. Back up top now for Lucchini. Huskies on the mat advantage. Lucchini over for Mark Auk. Auk takes it. Sends it to the back door. Scores! Misiak on the back door. Bang it home for a power play goal. And we're all tied 4-4 with 9:48 left to go in the third.
Great goal by Misiak. That is his second of his freshman campaign. And then we get the game winner, even strength. Jake Lucchini with an absolute rocket to get the fifth goal of the game for the Huskies.
Looks to shoot. Takes a hit, though, and loses control of the puck. Lesperance will pick it up now. Tried to deliver it to the middle. Got it there to Lucchini. Lucchini trying to pick up a loose puck. Shoot! Score! Oh, Jake Lucchini with a great goal! Wow! Broken play, and Lucchini just got it on his stick and fired it. Juhelski never saw it coming. 5-4 Michigan Tech.
I love that goal because the puck was nowhere near his stick. Then all of a sudden, boom, it's there, and he didn't waste any time.
Oh, yeah, and he got it popped on his stick. And, you know, the thing about Luch is he has a very deceptive shot because often he's shooting off his front foot, and he's almost always shooting in stride. So the goaltender can't pick up when he's shooting the puck off. And even in practice, he works on it every time he gets a chance to shoot the puck. So, it was a great goal by a guy that can make those shots.
Joel Lesperance and Gavin Gould get the assists on that play, and that was the final score of the period of the game. 18-8 were the shots in that third period, and 38-28 Michigan Tech outshooting Huntsville in game one. We were 3-for-8 on the power play with 21 power play shots on goal. The Chargers were 3-for-4. Very efficient on the power play with 10 power play shots on goal. Jordan Juhelski with 33 saves. Patrick Munson with 24 saves. And we get that game one. And you said after the game, Coach, you know, we maybe didn't play our best hockey, but it's still certainly good enough to win the game. It was nice to get the W.
Yeah, and as you could see that with the power play shots, we had 17 shots, 5-on-5 in the game. So we wanted to be better 5-on-5. And on Saturday night, we were much better 5-on-5. In the hockey game, we got a different result because the special teams didn't carry us through.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll recap the Saturday night game against Huntsville. It's all part of the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. If you have a question for Coach, email it. DJ@themix93.com.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
What? Turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
All right, we just recapped Friday night's game against Huntsville. Let's take a look at Saturday night's game against Huntsville. One of the bright spots in Saturday night's game, Coach, I thought was the face-offs. It seemed to be better on draws on Saturday night. We won that battle 49-22. It seemed to be that helped us at least with puck possession, did it not?
It absolutely did, and it sets up in every aspect, getting you out of your zone, getting into the opposing zone, making plays in the opposing zone. It's possession. And that's an area of the game where you can be good. That's a football-type static play. It's a line of scrimmage play. And, you know, that's, again, that's always, for me, been a good indicator as to the compete level of your team is how, you know, how well you're doing in that area, because so many face-offs are won by the secondary people that are helping out. In this game, it was much better. You could tell in Friday's game, like we go back to the penalty kill, but they generated, I think Goslin probably had four shots directly off of face-off plays, where they just got, you know, won the draw cleanly and brought it back. So it was an important part of our game on Saturday night that gave us a chance.
We score early again, relatively early, not as early as Friday night, but 4:56, Thomas Beretta gets his first of the season. Alex Gillies and Alex Smith get the assist to give the Huskies a 1-0 lead Saturday night.
Alex Smith. Smith over there. 3-on-3 for the Huskies across the line with Gillies. Gillies tried to deliver to the net, and that one did not come close, but Gillies will pick it up again. Center pass, score! Oh, Gillies with a great pass out in front! And the Huskies are able to take a 1-0 lead on a great goal by Thomas Beretta, who was capped out in front. 1-0 Michigan Tech.
Looked like Beretta just found a little soft area there in front of the net where kind of everybody for the Chargers forgot about him there for just a split second.
Yeah, and it came off of a good forecheck, in-zone forecheck in the offensive zone. We got guys around the puck. We won the battle. Alex made a nice play. He brought it out to Tommy, and Tommy put it in the net. So that was good execution. Guys getting into some hard ice, some critical ice area, and making a play in there with getting their nose involved and making a play. It was a big goal.
So Cooper Watson goes off for a boarding call at the 8:29 mark of the first period, Coach, and he gives the Huntsville Chargers their first power play of the game. They score really soon after that power play starts. It's looked at and disallowed. What can you? We never got told what it was.
In the crease, goalie interference.
Goalie interference.
Yeah, he was in the. They had the guy in the crease standing in there. He was backed in. His feet were in the paint, and I thought they were going to allow the goal, but it was a good call. Twice the night before, they had some stuff going on in the crease as well, so it might have been a carryover when they watched video from that a little bit, that they said we're going to watch the goalie interference a little.
So Goslin gets another chance at it. It's almost the same type of goal there that this one counts.
Spinning around on the left point. 1-0 Michigan Tech, shorthanded here. Goslin will shoot this time he scores. Goslin again, he has scored twice now on this power play. This one's going to count. And it's a 1-1 hockey game, 10:43 left to go in the first period.
What is so special about that guy, the way he plays, Goslin? He just is very fun to watch, not against us, obviously, but he's a good hockey player.
He's a hockey player. He battles. He's a kid. He came, you know, there were a lot of schools looking at him, including us, but he had to do a lot of academic work to get himself, able to play college hockey. He was nowhere near being able to be eligible for any school. So he went to Alberni Valley, got himself eligible, had a concussion last year, which might have in some ways helped him to just be able to focus on some studies to get himself in. But he was a good hockey player from Brighton High School. He was an excellent hockey player at Brighton High School. Again, many teams liked him, the thought was he was never going to get cleared, and he was able to, and Huntsville did a good job getting him in.
So we're down 2-1. They score with about 4 minutes left to go in the second period to take a 2-1 lead. This was Josh Kessler, who had a great weekend too against us.
Ian Hart on the forecheck there was Merkley, the outstanding freshman. Merkley with control now, backhands it down to the corner. Rajic over there, they score. Nice pass to the back door for the Chargers, and they take a 2-1 lead with 3:57 remaining here in the first period of play.
Nice play by the Chargers on that one. It looked like we just kind of forgot about a guy on the corner of the net, if that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, well, it was. He batted it out of the air. There were a few different things that led to that play.
Which involved, we had a guy on him, but he
yeah,
was,
we did, yeah, but it was about waist high and he batted in the net, but it was really too much time and space on the guy in the corner to be able to make a play. A little bit of running around in our defensive zone by a couple of players and it allowed a guy to make a flip pass across the crease and it was a good job. I believe it was Kessner who batted that in. It was a good job getting a stick on that and putting it in the net.
We were 0-for-3 on the power play in that first period, Coach, and we had 17 shots on goal to their 4. We're down 2-1. We go to the second period and they get another one. This is that shorthanded one that the Huskies turn the puck over in the offensive blue line.
Back to the point now for Burks, or make that Keegan Ford. Reitmeier had trouble with it. Shorthanded back the other way. Breakaway. Teats coming down on Munson. Shoot. Save. Oh, he scored. Munson had it, and then it just squeaked through him. The shorthanded goal by the Chargers. And the Huskies are down by 2 for the first time this weekend.
It looked like on that save attempt that Munson thought he had it. It looked like it hit his glove, and I think he still thought he had it in him.
Yeah, and it just rolled through him and got into the net. It was a miscommunication at the blue line, an aggressive play by Huntsville where they attacked it and were able to poke it free. And it was a big goal for them. We had some pretty good momentum going, and we still battled. We battled after that, and Uhelski made a number of good saves after that. But we just didn't get that. You know, we've been, again, being carried so much by certain players and by our power play, and we just didn't get that secondary scoring to help us out.
I thought, we got a lot of power plays in this game. I thought we earned the power plays, though. It wasn't, a lot of people will look at the stats maybe and say, well, Michigan Tech was home, and maybe they got a little bit of home cooking with the officiating on that. I thought we earned every penalty that Alabama took in that second game, especially by moving our feet. They were all no-brainer penalties, I thought.
Yeah, and I think they felt that same way. Right. I think that when they looked at them, it was our guys. We had guys moving their feet. I mean, again, you go back to the Stamen line. That line drew some penalties for us, we were moving our feet. They had to grab onto us. We were getting behind them in a lot of areas. So they were earned. We just didn't do anything with them, and that's what we needed to do.
So we're in trouble going into the third period. We're down 3-1, and it's late in the game. But a big goal as Gavin Gould comes out of the penalty box and makes the score a one-goal difference.
Sent back in deep. Penalty is over now for the Huskies. Jolnier loses it, and here comes Baltus. Gould coming down on a breakaway. In front for Baltus. Scores! Gould with a goal! On a given goal by Michigan Tech. And the Huskies pull within one with 2:10 remaining.
Well, just a great play, give and go there with Baltus, who I thought really stepped up his game on Saturday night. He got the only assist on that.
Yeah,
goal.
Brent did a nice job, and it was good to see him get rewarded with a point on the weekend, because he really on Saturday night did let us in a lot of ways by example. He got his nose in there. He was using his speed. He was tenacious on the forecheck. So we need that going forward. Again, we need some balance. You know, we have a dynamic on our team a little bit where we're still trying to work with a lot of individuals. Systematically, a lot of guys are pretty good. But there's two parts of the game. There's the system play, which you don't want to be overly crazy about and program it. You want that to be conceptual. And what that is, that's really in battle. That's getting your troops all in the spot where they can support each other and do their job. And then there's the tactics, which really are the meat and potatoes of it, which you work on every day, which is being able to, when you're near a guy, stick on puck, which is, you know, scoring a goal when it's on your stick, which is angling a guy, which is, your tactics are really the battle, the actual, you know, once you're in place, the ability to win the battle, you know what I mean, to win the war. But it takes those tactics. You can get your troops in an area, but you still gotta win the fight, you know what I mean? And so we're still trying to work with a lot of guys in to enhance their roles. Now, when you talk again, I go back and I can't say enough about Luch's line. For the most part, is pretty good with it. Stamen's line is almost textbook in how they compete, how they get into position, how they interchange to make sure they're always systematically ready to play off each other. But even one step further, when they get engaged, they do the right things. They're on the right side of the puck. They're separating their guys. They're stealing pucks. They're bringing it hard to the net. You know, Ray Bryce walks out, gives a bang pass for Ranky's goal. We had a flurry in the third period where they had three scoring chances. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, they keep igniting us with enthusiasm every time they go on the ice. They're doing it in every aspect. And what we're trying to do is work with all of our guys. Guys that are, in some instances, balk it. You know what I mean? It's tough when that responsibility's, you know, you get it, you expect more. You know, you get it, you expect, okay, we've got that part. Now let's bring it to this level. Now let's bring it to this level is the demand of coaches, because we have to have that demand on ourselves. But we have to make sure that we don't go too fast, that we lose guys that don't have the basics covered. And that's a little bit of what we've done in the past. We're still trying to get some guys to have, to first of all, understand systems. The second goal they got was a system breakdown. It was guys running around in the D zone. And then the second part of it was tactical by not tying up guys. So, there's parts of it where it's great that we have that line, because last year it was always Neville and Sturros and whoever we put them with, because they would hold the other guy accountable. If that makes sense, what I'm saying. And now when we're getting a line that is just textbook, that's earning ice, and we're rewarding them with ice, and they're getting results. So, that's a big part of our game, is to get that secondary, to get all four lines so that they're going, because we have a couple, but we have, and this is a long-winded statement, but Brent Baltus seems to be getting his game in order. He was really good Saturday night in all the little details of the game, and that helped us tremendously.
So those two lines that, in your opinion, aren't going right now, Coach, do you see some moving of guys, maybe trying different pairings or combinations?
We could maybe do that, but I'm certainly not going to break up the lines that are,
right,
because they're textbook to try to get other guys. Like, we could put guys with Sturros last year and Neville, because we rotated guys in on their line all the time, and they taught. Those two guys taught. They pulled guys aside. They made Jake Jackson a lot better. They talked to him and made him better. And there was that working part that we could move a guy in and out. The other line, right now what we have going is, I don't want to break up those lines, because I don't know if they can hold the other guys accountable. They lead by example. They're not locker room, you know, politicians that carry that. So, right now it's through a lot of video, and we have to get each other. We have to get these guys to expect more of themselves and to want more of themselves. You know, you look at guys that are upperclassmen in some ways. You know, you can't hold Grayson Wrightmeyer to too much right now, because he's young. He's got to develop his strength. He's going to have a couple steps forward, a step back, a couple steps forward. And we understand that. But some other guys that have always wanted enhanced roles are getting an opportunity for enhanced roles. With that comes responsibility and due diligence to those around you, and that's what we're really working on.
Coach, in the game, you started Robby Vaidoun on Friday night. He led in the first goal that did not count, and then that one right after. I didn't see you pull him at first, so I had to be told, because we're always looking at the wrong end of the ice on that. So what was the thought process there to get Pat Munson in the game?
I probably jumped a little too quick on it. In hindsight, now looking at the result of the game anyways, I would have done it differently. The way I looked at it is, he hadn't had really a shot. I think his first save was like around the 13-minute mark of the period, something like that. So he'd gone a long time without even getting a shot on goal. Now I was watching him closely. He had gotten out and played a couple pucks. He looked comfortable, and he's a talented goaltender. Then they scored on the power play, and from the bench you can't tell, did that just beat him? It was a shot from outside. The goal was waved off. Then they come right back down in the next shot and they score. And again, you can't tell. Now looking at it on film afterwards, clearly, he couldn't see either puck. So it's not his gig on either of them. If you're blocking, if you're going to screen the goaltender, block the shot, you know, and cause they, it's not only that we have guys in front of them, they have guys in front of them. So there's a lot of bodies there that puck can hit. So I didn't know if he was rattled. I didn't want the game to get away from us. It was, you know, it's 1-1. It's early in the game. He never really settled in. Had he got a bunch of shots early and I felt that he was into the game, it would have been differently. But I don't know Robby well enough yet, as far as coaching, being around him and his demeanor. Now, he handled extremely well, and I have no problem putting him right back in and playing him.
All right, final score on Saturday night, 4-2 with the empty netter there from the Huntsville Chargers. They beat the Huskies. Power plays, Michigan Tech 0-8 on the man advantage. The Chargers were 1-3. Again, faceoffs dominated by Michigan Tech, 49-22 in that category. But the first league loss for Michigan Tech of the season. And they've got two big games coming up this weekend against Minnesota State. We're going to preview that series coming up soon. And when we come back, we'll get started on some of your questions, which you still have a chance to get one in. Email it to me, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Schein Hour continues after these.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. That's why we brew a beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. And for those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. Hey, that's why we brew Michelob Ultra to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and an exceptional taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who go the extra mile. Enjoy responsibly. 2016 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams protein, 0 grams fat per 12 ounces.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Oktoberfest sale time at your party headquarters, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer are on sale. All 2 liters, $2 for $3. Keep things cool with nice ice prices. 4 bags, $5. All Pepsi 12-pack cans are $2 for $9. Jack's Original Pizza is only $3 for $11. Red Baron Classic Pizzas are $3 for $9.99. Bucko's, your Keweenaw Alpaca Clothing headquarters of the area. Save your bucks at Bucko's and buy a Bucko's t-shirt to prove it. All sales do not include tax or deposit at Bucko's.
Enjoy all-you-can-eat specials at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Tuesdays, all-you-can-eat Joey's Original Fish and Chips. Wednesdays, all-you-can-eat chicken and popcorn shrimp. Thursdays, all-you-can-eat shrimp. Plus, Joey's has seafood and soups any day, salads, tacos, chicken, ribs, steaks, burgers, and many gluten-free menu options as well. Stop in for a quick lunch or dinner paired with your favorite beer, wine, or cocktail. We hope to see you soon. It's our pleasure to serve you at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
In these turbulent political and economic times, are you having trouble mapping out your financial future? Let Gary Jorgensen, a financial advisor with the America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, assist you in the development of a financial strategy to help you achieve your financial goals. The America Group is located south of Houghton on M26, 1 mile past the mall in the Lake Accounting Building. Call 482-2370 for an appointment. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC. All right, got a couple of questions here for you, Coach. All ready to go with our first one here. Coach, we went 3-for-16 on the power play this weekend. How do we improve this from what myself and others saw? Do you think we were passing the puck too much?
Absolutely. Yeah, we were passing the puck way too much on the perimeter, too much on the outside, not enough in critical ice areas. And even when even the guys in critical ice areas were standing and what it got into a little bit is guys coming off and talking, you know, trying to talk through it and well, I'm doing this instead of what they could do collectively as a group. That's why I said I think it got too introverted around that perimeter play and not enough on attacking the goal. Like I would have much rather seen us, you know, giving pucks and attacking and drawing some coverage and feeding it in and trying to get some tighter plays around the net, even if they weren't great scoring chances, just some jam plays to get just to get that feeling that you were in control. Because I thought we were very perimeter and very soft, wrist shots from bad angles on the outside. So the question I agree 100% on. We have to get to work on that and get guys hungrier on that net.
That's one of the things I wanted to bring up with you. It seemed like we were taking those shots, and I don't want to name players, but you know, almost below the bottom part of the circle, taking them on, and then they're rimming around almost outside of the zone, and then you got to set it all up again.
Yeah, and not only that, it was running the opposite way that we wanted it to run. So I mean, there's just a lot into it. You have key players in key positions, and whether they're mentally fatigued, physically fatigued, getting a lot of power play time, getting tired, whatever it is, but we certainly have to resolve it. And you know, that mental charge that you, again, you're trying to teach guys to learn and think on their own. You put Misiak out there and should have used him more, because he gets out there and makes a hockey play, gets himself into an area on Friday night and scores a goal for us, a big goal. So, maybe spreading that out a little bit, you know, but the power play's been good. We scored 3 on Friday. We're 3-for-8 Friday. It's almost 50%. Saturday's the first night where it didn't absolutely click, but you could see that some guys and, you know, you're thinking of, I'm thinking of, some guys just, tried to do a little bit too much and couldn't see it, and so everything slowed down. Everything just seemed to slow down.
Next question for you, Coach. In order to climb back into the pairwise, we need to have success against Mankato, Northern, and Bowling Green. The team has shown the potential, and we need a hot goaltender. Do you believe that they can do that?
Yeah, I believe we can do it. We're going to play a tremendous team. I think that Mankato this weekend is as good as any team in the country. They have depth at every position. They have over depth at every position. They can throw guys in and out of the lineup and keep their compete level high from the guys that are playing. Their power play, if our guys think they're having trouble with some of the power plays we've seen, we're gonna see a power play that throws so many different looks at us that you know, they can make life absolutely miserable. So they're a great hockey team. And then you come in with Bowling Green, who just took them on Saturday night. And our team is capable of winning the league as well, and Northern Michigan showing that they can play. So nothing gets easy, and that's great. These teams have won some big games out of league. Mankato swept number 2 BU a couple weeks ago, and Bowling Green can be, you know, has shown that they can play with Mankato. So and that's what you want. You want, you know, you have to play well, and we're still growing and trying to get balance and trying to get guys to figure their game out and trying to help guys get confidence and so I'm looking forward to the test of seeing where we're at. Hard environment. I think it's the only time we get to see Mankato this year. I may be mistaken on that, but I'm thinking it's the only time we're gonna get to see them this year. It's in their ranks. So, I'm looking forward to the challenge it presents.
And I do caution, you know, again, I don't know everything there is to know about pairwise rankings, but I do know this, that looking hard at pairwise rankings this time of year, it can be very misleading. Yes, we were up, I think, around 6th, because of the wins against the non-conference teams in the icebreaker tournament. But that, the comparisons are based off of such a small sample size right now that a lot of the other people that have been questioning, calling in and are emailing in are talking about the major drop in pairwise because of one game or two games. That's what I'm talking about. Again, it's such a small sample size yet that they're using comparisons that aren't really there yet. So, I guess I just caution some of the people to not look into that too much. When it's good or when it's bad, it's like the stock market. You know, you gotta take it for what it really is.
I think they can have fun. Look into everything
that's fun,
you want.
But
have fun. That's what you do when you're, now us, we just focus on day to day. We focus game to game, day to day. Our job is to make ourselves ready. I think the best thing, or the best advice I can give any coaches is don't read the blogs, don't read the things, you know, get involved in your support and people and things like that, and support the people that support you. But our focus is just on being able to perform and trying to get each guy at their best so they can perform their best. If that brings us so that we're competing against the best teams in the country, that's our goal. But if it doesn't, you know, our job is to be as good as we can possibly be. That's all we have to focus on.
Next question for Coach. Notice this weekend on Saturday the huge discrepancy in shots on goal and goals scored. And this seems to be a pattern for the last few years. At one point we had 17 shots on goal while UAH had 4. And the score was 2-1 Chargers. Later they had 9 shots on goal with 3 goals scored. I think we ended with 42 shots on goal and only had the 2 goals to show. Is this a stat that is a concern for you and your staff right now?
Yeah, it's always a concern. The bigger concern for me is that we had 25, 26 scoring chances and only scored 2 goals, and one was when we came out of the box and got that late 2-on-0 to get us back in the game. It took that to get, but I'm looking for us to score about one every, if we're scoring around one every five scoring chances, four and a half, five, that's a good job. So you can do the math on how many scoring chances you'd need. 29 or 25 scoring chances, you know, you'd want to equate if you're efficient to about five goals. That's a lot of scoring chances that we generated on Saturday night. That's a lot in a hockey game. We gave up nine, and one of those was the goal they scored that was disallowed. So of actual, you know, eight that counted in the game, but so nine, and we gave up three goals on the nine, and really we gave up four goals because that one went in on the nine. That's one every two. That's not good. Do I fault the goaltenders on that? No, because but there is a number for them as well. There is a number that they have to maintain, or else you have to start looking for different goaltending to get that number. And that's about one every seven and a half on the goals, on scoring chances now. Not on the shots, but on the scoring chances. We gave up nine scoring chances in the game. You'd hope that that'd equate to one and a half goals against, you know, which you still win the game rightfully. So yeah, but you know, the difference is that Alex Patan's not in the lineup. Tanner Carroll's not in the lineup. David Johnstone's not in the lineup. You know, Blake Piedla's not in the lineup. The guys that are in here are learning to be and need to accept and try to accept and work themselves into those roles. There's no barriers. It doesn't matter where you're from or whatever. The only barriers that we all place on ourselves is the self-imposed where we put a ceiling on what we can do. I don't see a ceiling on Ray Bryce right now. I don't see a ceiling on Justin Misiak right now. I think those guys are growing leaps and bounds. We need other guys. You know, you are what you are. You know, we need guys that are 40-point career guys, 30-point, 20-point career guys as seniors. We're asking those guys to be, you know, more productive.
Right.
It's a concern. It's been a concern. It was a concern last year, and we were able to get Neville and Sturrows to get 25 points roughly each, which was a good output for them. And we continue to work on it. We'll try to continue to recruit to get players in here that have more of a tendency to score and to put up points.
Next question for Coach. All four officials on Friday night missed the Tyler Polson hit on Ray Bryce. They didn't miss it, but they missed the head contact, I guess. There was a two-minute minor elbowing called. As I understand, this is the listener, as I understand, they aren't allowed to use replay to correctly call the penalty. Would you be in favor of using replay to confirm hits to the head, similar to the way college football does?
I thought they could. I'm still not 100% they can't, but I asked him that, and he said that only in playoffs. So, I thought the officiating was pretty good this weekend. I thought the officiating was pretty good. Some of the better, you know, you're not going to see. It was pretty good for the most part. Now, my question to the referees when that happened, I asked them, I called them over, and I don't like complaining at referees, and I didn't complain. I said, none of you guys saw that. That hit to the head, and he said none of us felt it was a hit to the head. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now that is going to be reviewed. They will review that call, and there is going to be supplemental discipline. Now, we didn't send it in. I got a call moments after the game asking for that to be sent in. We didn't send it in. Mikey was notified and asked for it to be sent in. So based on the conversation, the official must have told them, you know, we're going to need to take a look at this hit. And then immediately we got a call from the league office saying that there'd be a suspension on it. And the guy apologized the next day. He said, we apologize. We missed it. It was a dangerous hit. Corb said, you know, deserved it. You know, it was a dangerous hit that, you know, Corbett. So, but it was, I thought the officials did well. But yeah, I think if there's something like that, then it should be reviewed. Yeah.
Because you're dealing with a 2-minute minor and a next game suspension instead of a 5-minute major penalty right there, correct?
Yeah. But often, you know, oftentimes you often see supplemental discipline. Everybody gets erratic about it where they'll say he was supplementally disciplined. There was no penalty even called. You know, they just miss it. They just miss it. They have a different angle at it. No referees are being vindictive. I do think in interconference play, there's a bias, to some degree, but outside of conference, when you're playing in the conference, I don't feel there's any bias unless you create that by, by whining and complaining and bellyaching and turning officials against you, then they're obviously any of us, you know, when referees are calling poor, when we don't agree with the referees' calls, we don't like them. You know, if we're complaining all the time, they're not going to like us. It's just the way it is.
I agree with you, though. I thought the officiating, there was maybe, I can't think of one penalty either way, on either side, that after it was called, you're like, wow, I can't believe
that.
You know, it just seemed like they called the game.
No, and so many refs in a game like that, like we were moving our feet, so many refs are going to try to even the penalties up. The refereeing didn't try to even them up. We were carrying the play, and we were getting rewarded with power plays. It was completely on us as a team that we weren't able to capitalize and be efficient on our special teams.
All right, thanks for the questions. I think we might have one or two more coming when we get back, but right now we'll take a quick timeout. Be back more with the Joe Schott Hour, and we'll preview that big series against Mankato this weekend.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Stock up on all your favorite snacks and beverages at Morty's Gas Station and Convenience Store in downtown Lake Linden. Check out Morty's Walk-In Cooler for all your favorite adult beverages. Morty's has a great selection of wines to choose from with monthly beer and wine specials store-wide. Don't forget about all your snacks and the latest movie rentals. Morty's is more than just a gas station. Taxes and deposit are not included on sale items. At Morty's, Lake Linden.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. One of those matchups you always kind of look at on the calendar. Always a lot of fun playing Minnesota State. The Huskies will take on the Mavericks next weekend. This is a team that's so difficult to beat, and in a building that is so difficult to win in. They have... our crowd, I think, is the best in the WCHA and one of the best in college hockey. I give Mankato a lot of credit. They play in a city building. This is not the school's building, yet they have made this place their own over the years. And this is one of the, it's a great place to watch a hockey game, because when Mankato scores, which hopefully it'll be, few and far between this weekend, that place absolutely erupts, and it's intimidating, I think, for the other team coming in sometimes.
Yeah, Mankato's a tremendous hockey team, tremendously well-coached. Hasty and his staff do a great job. Their recruiting is off the charts. They did a great job in putting this group together. I think they're loaded. I think they're as good as any team in the country. And I think that'll bear out over time, because I think you are what you are. Your record will end up proving what you are. So, they're deep in every position. And again, I think a strength is their coach and their buy-in, their accountability factor, that they carry over. So I think that we have some of that intangible, a lot of that intangible within our group as well. So I expect it to be really good hockey games. we want to make sure we want guys to play their best when in critical situations, to make the right decisions and perform at the right time in critical situations. When we have that going, then we'll be a team that we're a good hockey team. We're good. I mean, we could easily be 5-1-1 right now. We're a very good hockey team. And when we get everybody on board, we're going to be a really good hockey team. So, it's going to be a good games this weekend. It's going to be, high compete. They're going to show up to play. We're going to show up to play. So I'm looking forward to the test.
Zeb Knutson, the senior, is leading the way for the Mavericks right now in scoring. He has, 3 goals. And 3 assists, tied for points with a defenseman Brickley, who's another good one out there. He's got 6 points on. Like you said, they're very well balanced. They kind of move the scoring throughout. And, so far have been splitting the goaltenders for the most part. Pulowski played 3 games and he's 1-2. And, Lukuvi is, I think he's 2-0, the senior out there for the Mavericks. But, this will be a lot of fun this weekend, coach.
Yeah, it will be. Lakave was one of the goaltenders we were looking at and we actually thought we were going to get him. I think I'm able to talk about this because he's there now. We thought we were going to get him, and it was the day that I was to talk to him. I was flying down to Florida. Was the day he was giving us his decision was the day that that Mel took the job at Michigan. I landed in Florida, and I still remember it to this day. I got the phone call from I called Connor Lakave, and I said, okay, where are we at? And he said, well, what's going on with Mel? He told me yesterday he was staying. I said, well, he's going to Michigan. And Lakery said, well, I'm going to Mankato. So he went the other way and it worked out for everybody. We got a good goaltender and they got a good goaltender. So, it'll be a great test for us. We got back to back with them in bowling. I mean, every weekend's a great test. So, as we grow, as we continue to get better, as our guys are accountable, as we build confidence as a group, our scoring will balance out as well, and we're looking forward. I think we're moving in the right direction.
One more question trickling in here, Coach. Does Joe favor an early signing period to mitigate teams, in particular the bigger schools, from overcommitting verbally?
Whoa. an early signing period. You know, here's my thought on it. If there was a way on these early signings to say that a young man could actually, and a girl, I guess, in sports too, a young woman in female sports, if they could not announce their commitment, if it was illegal to announce a commitment of someone who has not signed an NLI, I think you'd see a lot fewer. I know you would, because the thing is right now is everybody wants to send out that canned thing on Twitter, which we have to follow to find out who's committing. Proud to announce my commitment to Michigan Tech University. Thanks for everybody who helped me along the way. They just want to be, they don't want to be left behind. You got Bantams sitting in a locker room with his 2 linemates committed, and he wants his name out there too. It's a race to be committed. Teams aren't honoring the commitments. Kids aren't honoring the commitments. Agents are shopping a commitment and offers around to other schools. I favor something. I don't think you should have more guys committed than you have space on your roster. Like that you can actually have on your roster. Like, and I don't know how you monitor that. And I don't know if you can. I'm old school. I'm not millennial and things like that. Your word is your word. You know, you shake a hand, you do a contract, you do whatever it is. Your word is your word. And all this type of stuff does is reinforce, in my opinion, the things that creep in negatively in society, where lying is and cheating and stealing and that those are accepted and in a lot of ways encouraged. Like it's just, I don't know the answers. I don't know if we'll ever get back to the, you know, and you know what? And the generation before me probably said it was a lot worse than that, you know, so I don't know the answers. I really don't.
All right. Well, game times are 8:07 both Friday and Saturday night at the Verizon Wireless Center, I think is what they still call it down there in Mankato. We'll be on the air at 7:30 here on Mix 93. The WCHA right now, coach, is 10-14-4 in non-conference games, which is a lot better than what we were starting on last year. And remember, last year's teams were 17-48-5 overall in non-conference. So we're on a on a better track anyway to get things going, and that's good with the Wildcats splitting down at the Resch Center this weekend, you know, and Damon getting a tie down there against the number one Denver Pioneers. So some good games out there.
Yeah, yeah, those are big for those interconference things are huge because it's all about getting teams in the national tournament. That's what promotes your league. So, you know, we'd love to get three teams in the national tournament from our league. That would be big, and that'd give us some area to boast.
All right, so the Huskies on the road this weekend. They'll be back home the following weekend against Bowling Green, and then the Northern Michigan weekend coming up the weekend after that. So the Huskies will at least be hanging out at home for a couple of weeks after this weekend. But again, we'll have the broadcast on Friday night at 7:30 with our pregame, and 8:07 drop of the puck. It should be a great battle between two teams that have really developed quite the rivalry in the last 5, 6, 7 years, and it's a Michigan Tech at Minnesota State. Coach, thanks again for your time. Good luck this week in practice, and we'll see you down in Mankato.
Thanks, sir.
Coach Joe Schonauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ.